The Heart of Rural America is brought to you by the new auction platform, Bid on Beef. We invite you to buy beef the cowboy way through an honest bidding process where you have the power to pick the ranch, pick the cut, and pick the price. You are in the driver's seat, and we are excited to ship beef directly to your door. Use code WELCOME10 for your first $10 to shop when you register to bid at bidonbeef.com. Welcome to the Heart of Rural America podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Radke, an American cattle rancher and motivational speaker, raising my kids and writing children's books in South Dakota. There's a David and Goliath story unfolding in agriculture today. And I don't know about you, but my money is on the underdog, the hardworking folks who value faith, family, freedom, and their farming communities. This show will highlight the untold stories of these resilient and determined families who I have the great pleasure of meeting in my travels across this nation as an agricultural speaker. It is my hope that their stories will remind us to live with great courage because we are not alone in this fight to keep producers on the land and meat, dairy, and eggs on the dinner table. Now let's hit the dusty trail together as we uncover the heart of rural America.
Welcome to your show. Here's my mom, Amanda Radke.
Hey everyone, it's Amanda Radke back for another episode of the Heart of Rural America podcast, the show where we highlight great people doing inspiring things in their rural communities to make agriculture and this country stronger. Today, I have in studio a very special guest. We're just coming off the tail end of his production sale. We just wrapped up a beef auction online, and he dropped off some cattle here to spend the night before he heads on the way down the road. Tyler Duvall of Capital Angus, Texas Beef House, welcome to the show.
Appreciate it. Really glad to be here. And South Dakota's a little colder than Texas.
Yeah, he rolls into our driveway with a fully open trailer. I'm like, you don't see these around here very often.
I have gotten some strange looks since I got into Nebraska and on up, wondering what I'm doing with that kind of trailer.
Yeah, it's a little too air conditioned for up here in the Dakotas. So you've had a long road trip. Your bull sale here was just a few weeks ago. It was a phenomenal sale, packed house. Incredible average, just such interest in the program, the cattle. I guess let's just start talking about, tell us about Capital Angus, your family, what you guys do there in White House, Texas.
Okay. It's been a work in progress. Been building that program now for, I think this, my wife told me we're right at like our fifth sale, as far as public auction. We sold bulls in the field for probably 10, 15 years before we got to our first public auction. Chris Earle put us on that path. Mm-hmm. And it's been a heck of a wild ride. We've learned a lot. When Chris Earle first found us, he was like, sell half your herd. And we definitely took his advice and really pushed phenotype and been able to get the right bulls in place at the right time, get the right donors in place, and learned a lot. I'm glad that CK6 has been patient with us. So like this last sale, like you said, with the first part of the book, I think 24, 25 lots were deadwood and the customers just ate them up. Mm-hmm. They absolutely loved them. And that ties directly into our beef company, marbling tenderness and growth, mm-hmm. and good on the hoof and good solid cattle. Docility was phenomenal. I had many, many customers come out 2 weeks in advance. Never had that before. I mean, I'm usually running up and down the roads 2 weeks in advance trying to tell people I have a sale.
Sure.
Please come out and please come look at us. And
right.
I was blown away. I could not believe that happened. And having people come out every day. And they get through the cattle and they look at them. And we walk them around, push them around. And the bulls, they get to see how docile the bulls actually are and what they look like in the field. And many compliments from those guys. And I enjoyed being able to do that part of the, being a manager that way and actually having people ask my opinion and what I liked about them and what I didn't like about them. And I'm a little too honest. I've been told that by my father. He's like, you just told them not to buy that bull. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's my opinion on it. They told me what their program is and what they're trying to do. And I was like, I wouldn't do that one. I would do this one,
Right.
If they're going to ask me, I'm going to tell them, And And I benefited from that advice, so I try to pass it along.
No, I think that's the best way to interact with your customers is tell them the truth and give them good advice. And then hopefully that advice is fruitful in their operation. They come back. And,
that's it.
You know,
that's what we want.
I just have to kind of mention this, you guys, at their sale this year. I mean, like I said, it was standing room only. It's just packed in there. Best meal ever. I mean, kudos to your chef, but your dad gets up there. You guys are a faithful family. He gives this wonderful prayer. And Chris Earl speaks about opportunities in the cattle business on the tail end of a presidential election that's just kind of swept the nation. You know, there's lots of optimism. But I'll never forget it. It was like we went to church. Like people,
yes, ma'am.
People were like, amen and yes. And
we get serious about it in the South.
Yes. Well, you could tell, though. I mean, it was a shift that people are like, okay, the next 4 years, there might be some optimism. There might be some opportunities. Maybe we can be on the offense instead of the defense. And I feel like that was reflected in the enthusiasm of the buyer that day. You could just feel it in the crowd. Another thing I think is kind of a big picture, a big piece of the puzzle for you guys is Texas Beef House. Talk to us about Texas Beef House and how that came to be.
Yes, ma'am. That's been a little bit of a stranger, difficult, different journey. I remember being in the house, still living with my parents, and dad talking about how he wanted to take our coal bulls when we were castrating them at 500, 600, 700 pounds, and how he wanted to sell those direct to the public. And I was like, I remember thinking like, well, you can just go to the grocery store and buy beef. Like, why would we want to go through all that?
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and it was his idea and he's the visionary. So we started doing that. A couple of coals we would castrate and keep them, and the locals in our community would buy whole or half beef. That's all it was. We didn't have by the piece, and then we started eating our own beef, and we started realizing like this is way better than we can get at the grocery store, much less restaurants.
Yeah. Yep.
And that started steamrolling, and then dad one day was out on one of his business trips, and he didn't know what Wagyu beef was, and I didn't either, and he saw it on the menu and ordered it, and it was just different. It was just more tender, a little bit more buttery. And so he called me, and I was in college, and he was like, I found this different breed of cattle that's kind of, I think it's going to take off. And he told me about his dining experience with it, and I did a little research on it, and he found a breeder up in, I want to say, Oregon.
Okay.
And he found the breeder, and we bought our first bull, and we called him Magoo. Because he was just so ugly, and it kind of rhymed with Wagyu.
Yeah.
And he actually just passed away a few weeks ago.
Okay.
That bull has brought more income to the ranch than any other animal.
Wow. Have.
So we brought him in, started breeding him. We found out that you can't just have one side of the equation. Mm-hmm. You have to have both. You know, we had a commercial herd and we had a registered herd, and we would kind of bounce him off both sides. Mm-hmm. And it's 3 years until you get to really see that animal on the table.
Yep.
And cut it up and process it, because you got, you know, 9 month gestation, 2 years on the hoof. Mm-hmm. Wagyus grow so much slower. Once we started cutting up our beef, we noticed really quick if you had it Angus registered, solid Angus, papered Angus over Wagyu, you just had a better product.
Sure.
And then these commercial Angus that you didn't really get to track where they came from and who their pedigrees were, it was a little bit less consistent. So that's 3-4 years into owning that bull, and we still had a pipeline of stuff that was very similar to that. We started changing our program and started changing how we bred that bull. And actually, we just one day decided we're going to actually name this company. So it was just kind of a side hustle.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, it wasn't right. Anything planned. And we had everybody was bouncing ideas for the name and, you know, all kinds of stuff off the wall. And it was me that I remember. I'm not saying this to brag on me, but I'm telling you, I named the company. I remember the conversation in the family.
It's a dang good
and
name.
I was like, I want to name it Texas Beef House. The whole family was like, that doesn't make any sense. And I was like, what do you mean? They're like, what's a beef house? And I'm like, it's a house full of beef. Yeah, and I'm like, we live in White House, Texas.
Yeah.
And we're going to be Beef House. And so I was just out of football, I think, when, you know, really into that, still very young, 19, 20 years old and out of high school. And I was like, you know, our motto back then was whose house, White House. You know? So like that was our football kind of deal. And so I still had that kind of mindset. And so it took me a while to convince him and talk to him and get that name. And then now I've had multiple people tell me, like, that's the coolest name for
a company. It is a cool name.
Yeah, that's like, what I thought too.
You can't beat it. Okay, so what was the contender name? Do you remember any of, like, the reject names?
There was all kinds of... We wanted to keep our name out of it. We didn't want Duval's or anything to deal with it. And there was all kinds of, you know, steak maker, you know, the anything to do with marbling.
Yeah.
We wanted to try to throw those names in there because we were really pushing that. And when Texas Beef, and it took me a few days. And then when it rolled off the tongue, and of course I started Googling, and there was nothing in the United States called Beef House or Texas Beef House to have any contenders. I've had a lot of people kind of be like, hey man, I really like that name. Who came up with that? I'm like, Smith.
Breaking rights forever. Well, obviously it worked. It's clicked. It's now a household name across the nation. I mean, we're not exaggerating here. You've sold basically across the country at this point. This holiday season, as you're looking for the perfect Christmas gift for that hard to shop for livestock producer in your life, look no further than a subscription to Ranch Vision. It is the first and only big picture profit planning tool for ranchers. It is not a record keeping software. The inputs are straightforward and easy, and the outputs are powerful. Less time at your computer and more time making management decisions that make you money. Ranch Vision lets you see the big picture of your operation, including all of your financials, so you can make informed management decisions and grow your business. Ranch Vision was designed and founded by folks in the industry. It is user-friendly and available for monthly subscriptions based on herd numbers. It's for all types of grazing operations, including cattle, sheep, and goat. Plan to profit in 2025 with Ranch Vision. Learn more at ranchvision.io.
At Radke Land and Cattle, we proudly use Advanced Ag Products BioReg Plus. With its proprietary coating technology for slow release of essential oils in the lower GI tract, BioReg Plus products are designed and proven to help beef producers with overall performance, feed intake, gut integrity, nutritional support, immunity, fertility, and reproductive health. With the rising cost of beef cattle production today, having optimal performance and minimizing health challenges in every head counts. Learn more at bioreg.com and tell them Amanda sent you.
The Heart of Rural America is presented to you by CK6 Consulting Services. I have the great pleasure of working alongside the CK6 team, including Chris Earle, Wes Tiemann, and Cody Fleeman, and it's an honor to assist cattle producers as they strive to meet their business goals. With a purebred Angus specialization, we have a full slate of auction sales coming up as we work to maximize price discovery and capture true value for our clients and customers. Plus, let us help you identify your next herd sire for the upcoming breeding season. At CK6 Source, you'll find great customer service, fast shipping, and a focus on leading Angus genetics. Learn more about what we do at ck6consulting.com and ck6source.com. We would love to assist you any way we can. God bless.
Let's kind of fast forward to the last year. Oh, you've just celebrated your one-year anniversary of auctions with the platform Bid on Beef. So if you guys don't know, the Duvalls are a partner with myself and Chris Earle, Wes Tiemann, and Cody Fleeman in this Bid on Beef auction platform. When Chris Earle approached your dad with this idea, I guess roll it back. Like, it was a concept that's like, what?
I was not for it the first time I heard it.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. And neither was Aaron Duval.
Yeah.
But I was just like, Chris Earle, we were at somebody else's auction buying, selling cattle. And he was kind of came up to us and talked to us about it. And I was just like, man, don't say stuff like that right now. Like, we're like, that kind of makes me like, we're in a good mood right now. Chris, don't do this. And whenever, you know, I thought about it and I me and dad talked about it on the way home from that auction. I remember we were up in Oklahoma and we talked about it on the way home. And there was so many, it was just, honestly, it's scary to put your product out on the market and just say, here, market, judge me.
Yeah.
And that was the scary part. That was, you know, because we had a company, talltextbeefhouse.com. We had the website. We had all the catalog built. And people were buying, you know, but it was so inconsistent. Like certain weeks would just explode and we would have thousands and thousands of dollars or tens of thousands sell. And the next week be like $500.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is with this?
Yeah.
You know? And so, Chris was like, oh, that'll go away. You know, you will have a consistent, you know, amount of product sold.
Yeah.
And then it'll get to a consistent price where you can predict all this stuff. And we were like, I don't know, man, that sounds really crazy. And so after Chris called me several times and he got me on board and I was like, okay, I'm with you. I said, I'm with you. We're going to push this. And so our first actual live beef auction did happen a year ago. You're right.
It did.
November of 23. There was, and so that whole summer building up to that, I mean, family meetings, discussions, back and forth. You know, what are we going to put on? Are we going to floor our product?
Yep. And heaven forbid you. Yeah.
Heaven forbid it goes for $5.
Yep.
And we all talked about it as a family. And we're like, no floor. Like,
yeah.
We're just going to put our product out there and just let it happen.
And what did your dad goes at the bull sale? He goes, honestly, I thought we were just going to give away 3 head. That's
somebody
what he
said.
Going
to donate it. He had made his mind up. We're going to donate this beef to the public.
Well, do you want to share how that beef actually sold that day in the inaugural sale?
So we get down. I was 2 to 3 weeks before that sale, and a little over a year ago now, my phone was ringing every couple hours for the beef auction. I got super nervous.
Yes.
I had like 150 cows, bulls to sell.
Yeah.
Nobody was calling us.
Yeah. You're like, I got cattle to sell.
I got cattle to sell. Yeah. And every phone call is about this beef thing.
Yeah.
And so we got down to the day of, the building was packed. The parking lot was packed. It was about a 1 o'clock sale and for the steaks. And we got up there and I heard how many people were logged in online.
Yeah.
And I want to say 500, 600, 700 people is what CCI had told us that were actively watching and listening. And there's over 100 people in the building.
Yeah.
I was supposed to get, I gave a speech that day. And I don't even remember what I said.
Yeah.
My dad was like last minute, like, hey, this is your idea. Get up there and
get talk. Up
and
there.
I was like, oh my gosh, man. Way to go. Give me some time.
Yeah,
to
right, think about right.
It's terrible. Whatever it was. I could just think about the people online who are listening to me and I don't even know who they are.
Yep.
And then, and I got off the stage, my wife stayed up there to kind of help talk about different cuts. And we wanted to explain the auction process and not confuse anybody, make sure it's really transparent. And then my wife's eyes got really big and then Wes was just fixing to get started. And she told me later that like the screen, the online screen was just exploding. Like people online were bidding and Wes hadn't opened it yet.
Yeah.
He was trying to get started and he was just like, okay, $45 a pound is online right now.
My goodness.
And we're just going to go with that. And then the room just exploded and the online exploded. And I think we sold 33, 34 lots of beef that day. And it was bigger cuts and it went for like $67 a pound.
Just a casual $67 a pound.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't there in person that day. I remember I was in this room folding laundry and watching online and I was crying and I was like, it's not even my beef, but I'm so happy because it's this unproven concept that obviously Chris is like, we sell cattle like this all the time. We bring things to the market tells us what it works and or what it's worth. That model works. Yeah. Why wouldn't it work for retail beef? And yet there was that fear, like this isn't gonna work.
No.
Because people are used to going to the grocery store, it's priced out for them, but you have a superior product. You've obviously been intentional about raising, choosing genetics and the feed and all the things that equal a highly marbled beef eating experience that cannot be duplicated in Brazil or Argentina or anywhere else. And you guys are masters at it. And yeah, it's like you took it to the marketplace and the marketplace rewarded you for it. They said, we want this beef from this family who has told their story. They've marketed it. They've proven to us that they're trustworthy. That's it. And
that's what Chris calls price discovery.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really understand that term until that day.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't been discovered. Like nothing. We've sold bulls and we had sold cows and it just done okay. And a lot of work went into it. And there's a lot of time that takes to get into that. And we had been in the beef business for years.
Yeah.
But Chris was right. Yeah. And the price discovery happened that day, and Bid on Beef was right behind it.
Mm-hmm.
We started planning, how can we make this a company?
Right.
How can we do this for other clients, for yes. other ranching families? Because this can happen for other people.
Absolutely. And I thought too, watching your production sale today or this year, the validation in the marketplace, because you guys could verifiably say, we just took this many head to the butcher, this many went prime. Tell us, I guess, how many you just took a load.
I did. So we found a new butcher in Fort Worth. And the reason we did is they have a little bit better technology, a little bit better inventory. And then they have a USDA grader, multiple graders on hand. And they have a minimum. You have to take at least 20 head at a time. So when that happened, we found them back in September. The first time we took a load was in September. I think it was 21 head and 21 head graded prime. The next load was like 35 head and, you know, 33 or 34 graded prime. And then I just got the news today. And those were all half bloods.
Okay.
The first two groups were half Angus, half Wagyu.
Okay.
So you expect some really good numbers out of that. And then we also have Angus, full blood Angus steers. You know, mm-hmm. we have, you know, if you have bulls, you're going to have culls. And so we took a load of, this was 31 steers. And we actually, you can get two different grades. You can get a camera to grade your beef, or you can get a grader, a guy on foot walking around with his
sure.
pencil and pad, and mm-hmm. he can do it. And it costs a lot more money, surprisingly, to let a person walk through.
Sure.
It's like $900.
Wow.
You know, or a camera is a few dollars.
Right.
So we just said, okay, well, let's just try this grader and see how that works. So I want to see is there a difference in a
sure.
camera?
Or
is
yep.
there a there's not much difference.
Mm.
So the guy on foot came in and he did it. Out of the 31 head, 29 Angus steers graded prime.
Wow.
And those were full blood Angus steers.
And it doesn't happen by accident. That's an intentional selection for a product that you're hoping to put on a plate.
Yeah.
Really. I think we're hitting this Bid on Beef deal. I think it's hitting it at a right time in a right place where they're sure there's always going to be the people that are there to price shop. They want the lowest price. They're shopping on a budget. You know, that's kind of the primary decision for them. But then there's the people that go out to eat on a Friday night and they don't even blink twice if the steak is $100. They just want it to be an excellent beef eating experience. And I think with this platform, what has absolutely just floored me, because I've really struggled with how do we connect with these people? I can picture who the customer is, but I don't know these people. We're ranchers. We don't,
yeah.
you know, these are the people we roll with. And yet every sale we have, we're selling to New Hampshire and Connecticut and New Jersey and both coasts. And to date, we've sold to every state in the nation except for Hawaii and Alaska. We've gotten bids both places. They just haven't won yet. They just got to get in there, you know.
Yeah, it'll probably be me shipping yeah. to Hawaii or Alaska, figuring that one out.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, you'll deliver it. Probably it'd be cheaper yeah, if you just yeah, take just, the family up and just
that'll work.
Yeah, make it a vacation.
Working cattle can be stressful at times, but the job is made so much easier with equipment that is safe, strong, and simply designed. I highly recommend Real Tough Livestock Equipment for all your working facility needs. We just installed the deluxe chute at Radke Land and Cattle, and it has been an absolute game changer as we run cows through our chute during AI season. It's durable and easy to use, and it's made to last a lifetime. Real Tough offers a wide range of products, including calving barns, panels, loading chutes, tubs, alleys, and portable working systems. Manufactured in the U.S. of A., Real Tough is family-owned and operated. Their commitment to helping farm and ranch families truly exemplifies what this show is all about. Learn more at realtough.com, that's T-U-F-F, and be sure to tell them Amanda sent you to receive an extra bonus with your order. Let's get you some iconic green Real Tough equipment headed your way. I promise you're going to love it.
You guys know, as a beef girl, I take grilling very seriously around here. And I've been using Redmond Real Salt for over a decade to season my steaks and burgers.
It's unrefined, ancient sea salt, exactly as nature made it. It contains 60 plus naturally occurring trace minerals, and it truly brings out the best of the beef we raise at home on the ranch. This American family-owned business also focuses on livestock products. And at Radke Land and Cattle, we are proud to use the beneficial Redmond Real Salt Minerals to get back to the basics and help our cattle improve fertility, immunity, and feed efficiency. It's natural, simple, and effective for people and livestock. Discover more at redmondagriculture.com and redmondlife.com and use code RADKE to save. Or contact a local dealer and mention my name for a special discount.
So a year in, we just got done. As you're rolling into the driveway here tonight, your sale was wrapping. And we had a phenomenal sale. Again, 82 lots. We had close to 1,000, just under 1,000 bids coming in on 82 lots. Sold close to 1,000 pounds of beef and averaged just a nice $13 a pound. And, you know, what does that mean to you, I guess, just to be able to consistently bring your beef to the market like this and have that attention on your product?
As a company, Texas Beef House, it is key. It has to happen. Because before, we could not predict what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. We couldn't predict how much money was going to come in. We couldn't predict how many customers were going to get on the website, when their buying cycle was going to be, when they needed the beef. But Bid on Beef, you can do two things. You can create demand for your product because you have an auction and you have a specific time and place.
Yep.
And then you get a true market value for your product on that day.
Right.
And that may change from week to week, month to month, season to season. But when it happens, it's real.
Yep.
And so those two things, to be able to have a company, have a ranch, have employees that are looking at you, you know, for their paycheck and their payroll and all the things that have to happen on a ranch. Now I can say, okay, well, I can predict that this growth pattern has happened over the last couple of months. I can predict what I have in the pipeline.
Yep.
You know, because we loaded the pipeline up.
Yep. And you got some beef to sell.
Chris Erhol was like, what are you going to do with all these? I was like, well, we've been waiting for something like this. So Bid on Beef is it.
Yeah.
We've got plenty of cattle to put in this thing.
Yep.
And so it's just like that model, it just fits. God's timing. It wasn't us. We're dumb. He's brilliant. And he put it right in front of us and we didn't see it till it hit us in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're just hoping we can keep up and keep with the growth. And where customer service, I've learned, is very important in this business. Even selling bulls and selling cattle, you want to call your customers, check on that sale. When it comes to the Bid on Beef thing, every week we call our customers, we text our customers.
Yeah.
Are you able to receive this beef? How was the product? Is there anything wrong with shipping? We're tracking the package all the way to their door.
Yep.
We're putting notes on top of their box and making sure they know that, you know, this was done by us.
Sure.
You know, and so it's just that there's many aspects to that. But back to your question, I mean, how important has Bid on Beef at this point for us on our ranch? It's everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we see that, you know, I can now even relate to my bull customers who are looking up and going, you're selling steaks like right out of your freezer to like everybody around here. Yes. And it's all raised by these bulls and their siblings.
Yeah.
And there's a connection there.
Yeah.
And so and ranchers already have that. They just got to access it.
Right.
They have the product. They have the land. So take the time and effort and sell direct that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another way to get a paycheck.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, as our food supply has just gotten so much more consolidated and 85% of the beef supply is held captive by four major players, it's like the American cattle rancher has become completely disconnected from the beef side. It's like they're raising the commodity and all the money, which is close to the consumer retail dollars, is not accessible to the American cattle rancher. And to me, Bid on Beef is kind of a political statement. It really is, of like, we're going to flip the whole narrative on its head. We're going to go to the consumer. We're going to get closer to that dollar. We're going to connect and we're going to get money back on the land with the rancher that's doing all the work. And I mean, obviously, it's a very small piece of the whole beef industry puzzle, but in a way, it's just been so rewarding to be able to work with these individual ranches, you guys too, and be like, no, this is could make a tangible difference in the life of a beef producer, a beef cattle rancher, and this is how you do it.
Yeah.
But it's not easy.
No.
Beef business is tough.
Every part of business is tough. And the people that walk into it thinking that they don't have to work at it,
yep,
they're going to be disappointed.
Yep.
There is no success that doesn't have a whole bunch of hard work behind it.
Right.
You know, and so everybody knows that. They want to have the quickest way to success. And, you know, we've had a couple months here where we've bid on beef in Texas Beef House, and the first couple of sales were nowhere near what they are now.
Yep.
There's so much work behind that.
Yeah.
So much advertising, marketing, contacting customers. I can't tell you how many customers were mad at me. I can't tell
you. You mean when you transitioned?
When we transitioned. When they said, hey, you know, you turned Texas Beef House off. I can't find your product.
Yeah.
TexasBeefHouse.com is not here no more. I'm like, well, Bid on Beef is.
Yep.
And I got a sale in like 10 days.
Yep.
You know, I'm like, I just had one last night and you missed it, you know?
Right. So to give the listener context, what he means by that is probably one of the hardest struggles, I would guess, for you guys was that conversation of you can't have your steaks priced out on a website every day of the week and then expect the customer to go bid.
There's the demand.
Yep. It'd be like having a bull sale, and a week before the bull sale, you sell your best bull's private treaty at a set price. Yeah, you get the sale, but then what do you think happens to your auction? Yeah. It falls flat. And so I remember those early conversations of being like, if you guys go all in on this, it could be the best thing you ever did. But yeah, you had customers that were used to buying it at a certain price when they wanted it.
And it's a tough phone call.
Yeah.
For that customer who spent thousands of dollars with you in the past and been like, hey, I'm trying to buy beef right now and you don't have it ready right now.
Yep.
I'm like, no, I don't. I change models.
Yep.
You have to get on and check. We've made it easy. We've got a really good website and
yep,
you can get on and you can be driving down the road or you can. I had people tell me they're in a business meeting and they're under the table with their phone. And they're bidding.
That's
awesome. And then they're yelling at their phone because they're, you know, getting outbid, and then they're bidding, and then they're in, and they love the text message received.
Yeah.
So we've made it easy. And honestly, at the end of the day, every person that has told me they were mad about it loves it now.
Yeah.
Loves it. They just like, it's the funnest way I've ever bought beef.
Yeah.
And we're really quick at getting it to them.
Yeah.
Like we make sure that we work our butts off over the weekend. And we're boxing it, and our sale ends today, right? Today's Thursday.
Yeah.
I'm out of town. Sorry, baby. But my wife is at home, and she's going to be boxing and shipping and handling all of it. And Monday, we're going to have...
It's going to be rolling. Now
it's gone.
Yep, yep. I think the hardest part for the customers has been educating them of this is how an auction works, because yes, we're used to it in the cattle business. We go, and that's how we buy cattle. But to them, okay, this is something brand new. But I think you guys coined it. It's like eBay. You go and you want something, you pick it out, bid, and you'll get notified if you're outbid. But that competitive nature kicks in. And these people get mad.
Yeah.
They want that steak. They want it.
Yeah.
I get that way too. Like, it's like, no, I gotta have it. And you really have to compete to get Texas Beef House steaks anymore. You gotta fight for it.
I was on my way here. I was 20 minutes late because I was driving and swerving, watching the sale on my phone. And I had customers texting me like, hey, man, like I keep on getting outbid. Like people are, I'm like, hey, that's how it works. Yeah. I'm not going to lose. I'm like, all right, well, I'm like, you're doing great. You know, so just don't be a quitter.
You know? Right. What's I'm saying, if you're not first, you're last. Yeah. So keep bidding.
It's a fun way to buy anything. I mean, like I bought equipment through the auction. I bought cattle through the auction. It's entertaining. It's fun. It's not entertaining. It's not any fun if we get the product home and it sucks.
Yes.
And I can tell you right now, we do everything we can to make sure the whole process is happy. A good experience for the customer.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so that's where I said the customer service comes in, and we've worked really hard with that.
Yep. So what have been some maybe mistakes made or some lessons learned, perhaps, if just kind of speaking broadly to other producers that might be wanting to do direct to consumer beef sales?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, before Bid on Beef or during Bid on Beef?
Well, it could be either. Dealer's choice.
So, I mean, like when we first started Bid on Beef and we really got in and we started shipping out and getting a hold of our customers, the things that we learned is that you need to, we contact our customers.
Yep.
The ranch and families that are involved with Bid on Beef and ourselves, we contact our customers and let them know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have shipped beef to somebody's house and they weren't home.
Yeah.
And then that's all on us.
Yep.
You know, and then just kind of learning how to market and not pick Facebook fights. That's
yep.
kind of tough for me because I have some people that'll say things and I'm like, okay, well, that's not really true. You know,
yep.
I'm trying to say it the nice way.
Yep.
And then, you know, also on the phone, you've got to be available. Phone rings, you're knee deep in a pen full of mud and it's one of your sorting bulls or heifers and one of your customers calls and they have a beef question. And my crew that works with me, they know when I turn my back and start walking away, like I'm this is an important phone call. I'm
yep.
with a customer.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and then just as far as the producer side for us, we learned a lot of expensive mistakes, you know, and we learned them because you had to breed the animal, raise the animal, feed him out at the end,
yep.
and then take him all the way to the butcher and go, hey, that didn't work.
Yep.
You know, 3 years into this and that breeding didn't work. And I have to note that, figure that out, why that didn't work, and then change to the, you know, cow families that produce for us and the cow families that worked. And we've done some serious culling at the ranch and changing things around to where the numbers we talked about earlier, I don't think we've had those type of numbers and anywhere at the beginning of the ranch, our beginning of the operation where we had prime at that percentage.
Yeah.
Now we're getting that, you know, 90 something percent prime. And that didn't happen by accident.
Right.
That took a lot of time sitting at the kitchen table, scratching out names and selling cows that, you know, that weren't working out.
Right.
And yep. those are hard decisions. You know,
yep.
those are stuff that you're getting rid of cattle that have been working and raising a good calf and you get it all the way to the end and you're like, that's not the consistency I need.
Not right. You know?
And mm-hmm. it's tough to do that. A lot of people don't want to make that cut, but we were able to, Lord blessed us. And we were able to get land at the right time and leases and expand and lean hard on Chris and Wes on certain cow families and find us. Chris, there's several times Chris has called me. He's like, hey, I found a couple cows you might be interested in. And it's about beef house.
Yeah.
Like he'll call me for Capital Angus. He'll call me for beef house.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, I found some stuff. They got some IMF data here and some
yep.
tenderness here. And he knows what I'm looking for. And he'll call me up and we'll get them.
Yeah. Well, I see, you know, you mentioned the Facebook fights. I see some of the chatter on Facebook talking about like, these guys that focus on the terminal or the carcass traits or whatever. But those pressure points and the genetics you can look at, like it is the most highly correlated trait, like the marbling, wouldn't you say? Like you can see what you're doing and the result is on the plate, but it's because of a decision that you've made intentionally. I guess, what do you say to those guys? Because they seem to think like if you're focusing on that, then you're sacrificing maternal or good females and that kind of thing. Yeah.
So we try to get a balanced animal. There's no doubt that if you're selling bulls and selling cows, you want something that's got some longevity to mm-hmm. it. But at the same time, you know, when you got a mama cow in the field that's 7 years old and she's been raising Wagyu calves year after year after year, that's making you money.
Yeah.
You know, and so we try to get a balanced animal. I used to focus so hard on a couple traits.
Sure. Yeah.
Bit me.
Yep.
You know, and I figured that out that I was like, if I'm focusing so hard on carcass weight and marbling and ribeye, I'm forgetting about these other traits
yep.
that are making this animal more balanced. It takes longer to get there, but you can, in one or two breedings, you can go blow up carcass weight, marbling, ribeye growth. And just yep. get just what milk, I don't care. Heifer pregnancy, I don't care. Cavities, but
yep.
you can forget all that
right.
easily. It's easy to do that.
Yep.
We try to have an animal that is going to live the 7, 8, 9 year mark out on the Texas beef house side of the business
yep.
and produce all those calves and get it here in a timely fashion, get those animals to harvest in a timely fashion. And then on the same side, Capital Angus, whenever we cull out of our Capital Angus herd and they make it over to the Texas beef house herd, it's a tough decision. We're
yep.
like, man, I don't know if I want to move that cow or not.
Yeah.
Because that means she's not going to make a bull.
Yeah.
If you're not going to make a bull, I'm not going to see him sell. And it's these yep. tough choices.
Right.
But having both of those companies work hand in hand, I can see the future in it.
Yep. It helps add value whatever track they yep. decide to go down. So Texas Beef House has kind of served as obviously the pilot ranch for Bid on Beef. And as a result, you've kind of set not only the pace, but the example. It's also been a teaching tool for our other sellers that we're you know, interviewing and vetting and bringing to the platform. And I would say the number one question that we get from sellers is about shipping. Mm-hmm. Now, shipping, that's a whole beast. I guess, what advice would you have on the shipping side of things? How to get that beef from point A to point B? It's frozen, customer's happy.
Okay. The first advice I would give is contact your customer.
Yep.
Like, it takes some time. There's text messages, email, there's phone calls. First thing is they want to hear from you.
Yep.
And then the second thing is you want to make sure they're home.
Yep.
Because it has happened to us, or we've gotten a delivery and we find out later on that it sat on the front porch in Houston, Texas in August. Mm-hmm. You know, so my first thing is make sure they're home. They want to hear from you. Second thing is, depending on time of year, if you're, you know, in the South, you're going to spend a little bit more money on a styrofoam.
Yep.
Heavy, thick, well sealed. You want that lid to not just, when you put it down on top of the box, it should not shake around.
Sure.
You can get a cheap lid that does not airtight seal. Mm-hmm. And then inside the box, it happens to us all the time. We'll have somebody just get, you know, a 10-pound order, and you got a box that'll hold 25 pounds. Mm-hmm. All right. So what do? That airspace, that empty airspace inside that box at 60% now open, you got to fill it with something. Mm-hmm. If you can't fill it with gel packs, that's too expensive. If it's, you know, one day ship, you can get away with probably just putting a couple of gel packs and a little bit of, you know, paper on top. If it's 2-day shipment, what we do at Texas Beef House is we give away hamburger.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I know that's like, people won't agree with me on that. But if you fill that empty space up with mm-hmm. a hamburger, it's just like gel packs.
Sure.
It's more dense. It's yep. better than a gel pack. And then that customer opens it up, put a little note inside and say, hey, you know, this is on the house.
Yep.
You know, thank you for buying from us. And I converted many customers to buying steaks and hamburger because we put hamburger in their box.
Sure.
They were just like, steak only. I don't want any hamburger. Yep. Hamburger's gross. You know, they've had it at the grocery store at yep. Walmart. They weren't excited about it.
Yeah.
And they got hamburger from us. They loved it.
Yep.
You know, so, and then being on top of tracking your shipments. We shipped a bunch of beef to Bliss, Idaho, Spring Cove. And they ordered a bunch of steaks through Bid on Beef probably 2 weeks ago. And we shipped it out on a Monday. And it's a very expensive order.
Yes.
The next morning, I was getting ready. Me and my wife were talking. And I was like, hey, check on that order. Let's see. Like, it should be like in Bliss, Idaho, or close to it, because it's yep. the next day order. It was in Tyler, Texas.
Oh, no.
We didn't know that immediately, but it was just like delayed. You know, so we made a few phone calls. We called UPS. We called the right people. And they were like, yeah, it's sitting here in Tyler, which is just a few minutes from our house.
Oh,
it
no.
never left, never got on the airplane.
Oh, no.
And we're talking 200 ribeyes.
Yep.
No, 200 New York strips. Sorry.
Yes.
200 New York strips.
The historic Spring Cove bought steaks for their bull, or their production sale here. And yeah, I mean, wonderful. Thank you. Shout out to them for supporting Beef House and Bid on Beef. But okay, so why didn't it leave?
Just too many Indians and not enough chiefs.
Wow.
It's just got missed. It was in a corner. I don't know. My wife went later that day, and it was a 24-hour shipment. They were packed for 24 hours.
Sure.
She was there and before the 24-hour mark, and my poor woman only weighs 102 pounds. And she picked up hundreds of pounds of beef, put it in the car, took it back to the house, put it back in the freezer. Aww. And then we had to like reschedule for the next week because it was already too late in the week. But my point is that you have to track your packages, pay attention
sure.
to your orders. And you see that you've got like a high value package, you know, UPS is going to screw it up.
Yep.
Like, that's just sorry.
It
like,
had to be that one.
That's it. Yep. Yeah, that's exactly right. No, I mean, it's only the expensive ones that you worry about and try to insure, and they get lost. And so, but it doesn't end when the sale ends.
Yep.
You know, as these ranching families get more and more involved and the sale ends and you just go, okay, I'm done. No, not at all.
No.
No, you got a lot of customer service to do, and it just grows your business. When that family that bought from you a couple hundred miles away gets a phone call from the rancher and they go, man, I'm buying from this rancher, and he called me and he thanked me for the beef and wanted to know if I was home and if there's anything else he could do to service yep. us and all that yep. stuff. It just, they connect to that.
Yep.
And they feel like, I know this person now, and you need to build that relationship. It doesn't need to be a fake relationship. It needs to be real.
Right.
And when they call you back, you pick up the phone.
Yep.
And they hear cows mooing in the background.
Yep.
Blows their mind. I'll be in the barn doing something. And they're like, what are you doing right now? And I'll tell them what we're up to and vaccinating and
yep.
whatever. And like, I can hear all those cows in the background. Like, yeah, well, that's where your beef comes from.
Yeah, that's right. You
know? And so that relationship, it just is good.
That's great.
It's a good thing.
A lot of times I hear that it's just too much work, that ranchers, you know, they want a ranch. They don't want to deal with all this stuff. I guess, you know, to kind of close out the show, let's talk a little bit about what this has meant for your operation. And maybe despite the fact that obviously it's been a ton of work, but usually things in life worth doing our work, yeah, obviously. But then let's talk a little bit about what 2025 looks like for Texas Beef House and Capital Angus.
Oh, man. So we're going to start off with Texas Beef House and Bid on Beef. First part of the year, about 3 sales a month.
Mm-hmm.
Move in to the spring, and we're going to start increasing it. I'm pretty sure it goes to 4 all through the spring and summer. And then around September, and my wife's the one who pointed this out, and she was like, there's a couple months in there that are 5 weeks
mm-hmm.
in a month, and we're going to hit every week.
Wow.
And so we've got some goals on how many pounds we'd like to sell a month. Mm-hmm. And so we'd like to hit those goals.
Yeah.
Our sales are, tonight was 82 or 83 lots, something like that. We'd like to grow on that. We've got some things we're going to change a little bit on bidonbeef.com to make it a little more accessible to get to that many lots
and yeah.
make it a little bit more user-friendly. And I think that's kind of how companies do. They grow, they find out how to make it easier for their customers mm-hmm. and make a few tweaks. And,
yeah.
and there's something that's going to happen in 2025 is we're calling it a proxy bid, but we're going to have it built into the website to where you identify your lot
mm-hmm.
and you say, okay, I'm going to pay X amount of dollars.
Yeah.
No more than that, but this is my $25 is my limit.
Set it and forget it and kind of a deal.
Off. Mm-hmm. And yeah. it might be at $12 at that point.
Yep.
But we're not going to know what that is. We're not going to know what y'all are bidding.
Yep.
We have no idea. It's just you and the computer. But whenever you place that bid of $22, $25, whatever fits your household,
yeah.
you can walk away. And that, and anytime somebody bids against you, the computer will bid for you on that lot.
Yep.
And then you will get a notification later on if it reaches that $25 limit.
Right, right.
And that's, I think that's going to be key for people who, you know, they got stuff to do. They got kids yep. to feed and go to baseball practice and soccer.
Right, right.
And they're going to, this thing, as it grows, we're going to make it more accessible to the customers.
Yep, that's the thing. I think we're all committed as partners to making this as easy as possible for folks. So another feature I'm excited about is that folks are going to be able to, you know, favorite their favorite ranches, follow their favorite ranches on the platform and be notified like, hey, your favorite ranch, Texas Beef House, is having a sale right now. And so hop on, you know, make sure that people don't miss it.
Right.
And so, because we're definitely seeing that people are kind of sampling all the different ranches on the platform, and naturally they're going to land on their favorites and yeah. want to kind of follow along. So,
and we hope that there's going to be people that are in Pennsylvania and they want to buy from a ranch in Pennsylvania.
Yep.
And then there's going to be, same thing with the Dakotas and same thing with the Rocky Mountain, you know, Colorado, yep. New Mexico area and in the South. And I hear that from time to time that people be like, well, I'm in Texas, so I want to buy from Texas. I'm like, okay, well, I'm like, there's some other branches in yep, other states yep. that are selling, and they will, they'll get on, they'll look and they'll text me back and they'll be like, that beef was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And they love the process
mm-hmm.
and they go, I love that I can get on at any given week and go, I've found another ranch that has a really good product and they've yep. shipped right to my door. I'm only maybe twice a month right now.
Sure.
Three yep. times. So there's a demand for other customers needing product and they can get on. And absolutely. They can find it.
I'm proud of the ranching families that are on the platform. And I guess I would encourage folks to go to bidonbeef.com. When you register, you automatically get $25 to shop on your first auction. So it's like a pretty win-win situation. But you can go to the Ranching Families page. You can get to know all the different families that we have carefully vetted and verified to participate on the platform. And then you can always ask us questions. We're happy to tell you about these families and the beef and really quality and professionalism and a great beef eating experience is our goal, no matter which seller you're buying from on the platform. So you can buy with confidence and know that it's going to be a trusted source of Angus or Wagyu beef for your family to enjoy. So Tyler, I know you've been driving all day. we got to wrap this up so you can sleep and so you can hit the trail again. But it's been a pleasure. Congratulations to you and your family on all of these achievements. And I think there's much more to come from Texas Beef House and Bid on Beef.
Thank you. It was an honor to finally be on the famous podcast.
While I've got you here, I would love to invite you to check out my website, AmandaRadke.com. Each week, I share my column, this podcast, and new items to shop for farm and ranch families, including my children's books that celebrate agriculture. Use code DUSTYTRAIL to save 15% on your next purchase. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting my small business and for your continued support in keeping me on the road fighting for farm and ranch families. I'm thankful to each and every one of you who tune into this show each week. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review to let me know how you're liking the content and our guests. Until the next time we meet on the Dusty Trail, I'm Amanda Radke, and this is the heart of rural America.